Hebrews chapter 12. And I think I got down to verse 15. And we'll be taking a look at that this morning. I'd like to say just a few words to bring us up to speed. Last week we were studying about chastening. And if we read verse 11, it says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. When the Lord chastens us, it's not comfortable on the flesh. And I think the first thing the Lord does when He chastens us is send the Holy Spirit to convict us and let us know that we did something out of the way, something that was not according to His will, or something that the Bible has told us to be careful not to do. And so the Lord momentarily cuts us off from fellowship. And we find ourselves, or I find myself, asking God to forgive me and restore me. And my great high priest is there to receive my repentance. Now, repentance is for Jews and Gentiles and Christians and sinners. That's who repentance is for. And so we tend to forget that. As we go through our daily lives, we tend to forget things like that. And we tend to forget that God is ever present with us. If He saved you, He gave you the earnest of the Spirit. And the earnest of the Spirit, now, if we would look back at John chapter 16, I believe it's 16, I'm not going there, Jesus told the disciples, I will send you a comforter. Now wait a minute. Who was He talking to? Well, I said the disciples. Well, then the next verse, He says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. All right, now, let me ask you a question. Is reproof comfortable? You see what I mean? So the Holy Ghost is a comfort to a Christian that is in the will of God. I mean, you even at your house, you can rejoice in the Lord when the Spirit reminds you that you've got a good Savior and your sins have been forgotten. See? I mean, that's the New Testament. That's the New Covenant. I will remember your sins no more. And I have to often quote to myself Isaiah, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as wool. And that verse in the New Testament translates over to Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You see what I mean? So when we study on those things and that comes to your mind, and even if you're at home, we can rejoice. So the Holy Spirit is a comforter. But when you were lost, He was not a comforter. In fact, can I say this hypothetically? If He had been a comforter to us when we was lost, we'd never moved. So He was not a comforter. He was a reprover. Thank God for the Holy Ghost reproof. Thank God. Okay.
And so,
amen.
And so when you're talking about reproving, and that's just a sign of that. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, well.
Now, let me add something real quick here. It is for lost Jews and Gentiles and saved and unsaved. There's also an aspect of this that's not necessarily a chastising, but Brother Troy always said, faith is never learned in a comfortable position.
Right. Right.
You have to walk towards something that you don't make sense. That's what Samuel was doing. We knew what the Lord was saying, okay?
Yep.
As Christians,
You're right. I'm not.
Now, again, it was comfortable afterwards. Don't you know Noah said, boy, I sure am glad I built that boat.
Yep.
So, again, the Lord is prodding us to live by faith. Mm-hmm.
But you're right. And we see, but we see the Lord sent the Holy Ghost in our dispensation to reprove sinners. And I counsel sinners all the time. I've met people who said, I don't believe I've ever been called by the Holy Ghost. I said, well, you better pray that He will call you. See? Because Jesus said, or the Bible says in John chapter 1, when He cometh into the world, He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That means that God gives people under our dispensation enough light to find salvation. Now, most of them don't, but God gives them light. And one preacher preached, I think it's right. If you'll walk towards the light that God gives you, He'll give you more light. You see what I mean? And when I was under conviction, I did not get the full light of salvation until I bowed my knees and admitted that I was lost. And only then did I get the light that I needed to trust Christ. And I'm not trying to say I'm an example. I'm just saying what happened to me. And you see, so what we're saying here is that the Holy Ghost is given in our dispensation to reprove sinners. And Jesus said, reprove them of sin. See, now when you're a sinner, you didn't want your sins addressed. See, and if the Holy Ghost hadn't crossed your will and told you how bad your sins were, I didn't know my sins were as bad as they were. I mean, the preacher said I was a sinner. Preacher said I was sinning. Preacher called out things that, you know, what I was doing that was wrong. But they were not exceeding sinful to me yet. See what I mean? So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and the law preached in its right way convicts us of our sins. Not only did I get convicted of what I was doing, I got convicted of my nature. See? And that's what no sinner understands. I don't believe any sinner understands how bad his nature is before God. And I think that comes in revelation when you get saved. Now, I know some people have a greater expression than others, and that's okay. I do not make cake recipes for people's response. I can't do that. But we see here that he says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, ever it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See? Now if you are as a Christian find yourself guilty, it is not comfortable. The Holy Spirit makes it uncomfortable to you. But if you repent until God forgives you, then your comfort comes back to you. In other words, fellowship with God. 1 John says if we do these things, that we might have fellowship with Him. See? Now people can be saved and be out of fellowship. People can be saved and be out of fellowship with God. I know, I've been there. You see what I mean? But it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. Okay. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. See, now that's encouragement. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. See? We are created unto good works. If I go visit somebody for the Lord and I do not do it in His name, it's probably not going to amount to much. See? So I don't do it to make a name for me. I don't do it so they say, well, here comes this guy that's gonna fool with us a little bit or give us a little money or something. I don't want to be known as that. I got a message. I want them to get a message. See? And you cannot be a proper witness without your message. See? And I, like I said, I...
Yes, sir. But anyway, nobody heard you. Sometimes when you go to witness, people do not hear you. And they will shut you off.
Yep.
But God doesn't excuse you for bringing the message.
That's right.
But the other thing is there's two kinds of reproof. Which one you want to suffer?
Let me say this to what you said. Most of the time, they're not going to hear your message. But you know, hey, that's part of being a Christian. I remind myself and I remind y'all often, most people that heard Jesus did not accept Him. Most people that Paul preached to during through his career did not find Christ. But the Philippian jailer did. You see what I mean? And can I say this to you? Most of the people you talk to is not going to believe it.
Right.
I'm not bragging on me, and so don't take it that way. But I got to where I hand out a few tracts. And when I go out there and hand them out, my thought is, you're probably not going to do it, but God told me to do it. So here it is. And you know, so far, I've had pretty good reception. Yeah, I'll take it. But anyway, keep on keeping on. See, and Noah's a good example. See, Noah preached 120 years, we think, at least 100 years, and nobody but his family. But he saved his family, right? Okay, Jeremiah. Jeremiah preached, we think, about 40 years and didn't have not one convert.
Right.
But when Jesus come on the scene, he asked him, said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Jeremiah. Wait a minute. Jeremiah, in the eyes of men, was not successful.
That's right.
See, and so they were comparing Jesus with Jeremiah. So Jesus, as far as they were concerned, the Pharisees and all that, Jesus was a total failure.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
And you know, when I look back at that, I'm going to digress just a little bit. I cannot imagine people during Jesus' day seeing him feed 5,000 with two fishes and five loaves. Are them devils come up to him and bow down and say, have you come to torment us before our time? Is not that the Christ? Is not that God? But you know, some of them that saw that didn't believe. I'm not condemning them. I'm not saying, you know, I'm able to judge that, but it did happen. And so it's going to happen in our lives. See? And I pray that people will hear the gospel. I pray that the Holy Ghost will touch their hearts. And I know it pleased God by foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. See, believe, believe, believe. You can preach and preach and preach. What if they don't believe? Well, Paul said, who hath believed our report? Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? See? So apparently Isaiah was having some problems. But nevertheless, you know, and you know, I don't understand this, and it's kind of hard, Shelley, in a way, but the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I don't think God just chooses and chooses and chooses. I teach all the time, salvation is three responses. God responds to you as a sinner. Now it's your turn. Paul said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, saying you have put the gospel from you and accounted yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Whose time was it to respond? And if a man responds positively, then God responds by letting you know that you got freed from sin. So I think there's three responses there. And the reason that I came up with that was studying about Arminianism and Calvinism. Now in religion, there's a big debate, Arminianism. I'm not either one. I'm a Baptist. You know, he never did tell me what he was, but he was a free grace man. So he, saved by grace only. And I'm like one preacher on a CD. We're not saved by grace only. God's give grace to every man. We're saved by grace through faith. See? Some of them reject that. You see what I mean? But if a man does not respond to God, God does not respond to man. You see what I mean? And so we got to be careful with that, because we get tossed about with every wind of doctrine if we're not careful. Now let me say this to you younger men. Every one of these people, whether Arminians or whether Calvinists, when you talk to people, you'll find out as you go through life which way they lean. And each one of them have got scriptures they can go to. But they got their scriptures. See? Jesus Christ came to save sinners. See? Are you a sinner? Well, but most people says, well, I'm not too bad. I'm not as bad as you think I am, Mr. Pollard. You see what I mean? And I'm not talking down to people. I'm just saying, when you think people don't have scriptures to go to for their position, they do. But I'm reminded of what Paul told Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of God. You see what I mean? Now, to be a wise Christian, you got to rightly divide the word. See? And I know I've been around a few people that they went to seed on certain doctrines, and maybe they was good doctrines, but there was something else besides that. Now you take a fellow that leans what they call free grace people. See? Well, yeah, God's sovereign. I told this man, I said, sure, God's sovereign. God can do anything he wants to. But I said, the best way for me to let God be sovereign is to let his word be true. He didn't tell us all he knows, but he told us all that he wants us to know. See? All that God knows is not in this book. But what he told us in this book is sufficient for us. You see what I mean? Well, yeah, he did have in there, many are called but few are chosen. Boy, they land on that. Sure, that's right. But how are you chosen? Paul said by the laying aside of the Holy Ghost. I believe that's Ephesians chapter 1. By the sanctification of the Holy Ghost are we chosen. See? So God chooses you from a standpoint of he sends his message to your heart. And God leaves it up to you from that standpoint. Don't mean that you call God down from heaven get a hold of him and all that. But you take a hold of God, God's grace, by faith.
Amen.
See, God never did say unbeliever. Right.
That's acceptable to God.
That's right.
Anything else is unacceptable.
Yep.
And these people who run around trying to figure out a different way, I got news for them. They're wrong.
Yep.
In the days of robbers, just like the day of Christ, we've got multitudes claiming they follow God. Just like in the days of him, they said they had multitudes following him. But they wouldn't save people. They wouldn't think that multitude was foreign and no one rose or born. And that's the way it is today. We've got multitudes out here claiming they follow the Lord and a bit more saved than nothing.
Yep.
But they claim they follow in Jesus.
Yep. Yes, sir.
The same thing has happened in Jesus' day.
Absolutely.
All of you, think about that woman with the issue of blood. What did she have to do? She had to push her way through the multitude.
That's right.
That's
right. Amen.
That's what happened to us. We pushed our way through all this junk that's going on in life and found Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Right.
That's like blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road.
Yep.
He cried out to Jesus, and the rest of them said, Be quiet. Don't trouble not the master.
Yep.
But he cried the more.
Yep. He just increased his life. That's what happened to me the day I was saved. He kept crying out.
He kept on.
And I just kept on until God heard.
I think of Michaela. And I hope she's got a true heart. She keeps on and she keeps on. And I'm encouraging her every time I see her. I said, don't give up. I don't know. You don't know. See? And so, but... Right. Yep. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be defiled.
Right.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Hello? Hello? A lot of people reject that. What? From a standpoint of Esau dealing with God, what happened to Esau? He waited too late. I mean, if you go back there and read that in Genesis, he came back to his father after the father had blessed Jacob. And Isaac said, yes, I blessed him and he's blessed. And I made him I made you his servant. And he said, Father, is there not yet a blessing for me? And Isaac blessed him with some material things. But he did not find the birthright. You see what I mean? And so I hesitate to say this, but sometimes when people go too far, they too cannot find God even though they have some tears.
Right.
See? Now tears are good. I'm for it. But tears don't necessarily mean they made it. That's right. Spirit unto all men.
When that chance is over, you're in the same boat Esau was in.
Yep.
There's nothing left.
Right.
There's
and,
no hope.
And you and I don't know where that is.
Right.
You know?
Well, I can personally
Yep, you're right.
That will terrify.
That's right. But I know in my case, the Lord strived with me and strived with me and strived with me. Now, from a God standpoint, he wasn't sitting up there on his throne, wringing his hands, saying, I wished he'd repent. God says, I know the time and I know the place. But God dealt with me, and I'm thankful he did.
Amen.
See? And I just think all the time, can I say this? Let your doctrine of salvation be rooted in, no man cometh unto me except my Father which is in heaven, draw him. You see what I mean? Now, preaching the law to sinners in its rightful place by the unction of the Holy Ghost causes sinners to feel that kind of reproof. You see what I mean? And so let me say something right there. Everybody that's reproved don't move. Now I pray that they will. But everybody that's reproved don't move. See? So we have to, I think it's our duty to pray for them, to witness to them, in sincerity. And I know every time you meet somebody, you can't preach to them. But we are to have enough a light in our lives that they would say, that man knows the Lord. So you can have that. And I found this out, young men. Out in the world, and I used to be in a position in an organization where I was the assistant boss. And I did not have everybody's attention. But I think from a standpoint of honesty, I had everybody's respect. And I'd rather have that than their praise. I'd rather have respect as their praise. They can keep the praise. See, because I never was a person that did great things. I just did my job. See? But I had some men under me, and once in a while I would have to reprove them. And I tried to do it in as kind a way as I could and still let them understand I meant it. So I just gave you that a sidebar. Okay? Okay, Esau was rejected. Now hard shells, they go to that and they camp on it. He was rejected. It ain't you can come when you want to. Well, that's true. You can't come to God when you want to. But you can come to him when he's calling. And if he calls, what did them prophets say when it said, the word of the Lord came unto me and called me? What did they say? Here I am, Lord. What did Isaiah say? Here am I, Lord. Send me. You see what I mean? So there is a response that God will accept. Now I know we do not deal with God in the Christian life nor in salvation on equal terms. See, we're not equal to God. We never are equal to God. We are subjects. We are lowly. In fact, Jesus told a woman, the Syrophoenician woman, said, it's not fit for me to give the children's food to dogs. And did she have a fit and say, I'm not coming to hear you no more? No. She said, truth, Lord, but the dogs desire the crumbs that fall under the children's table. What did Jesus say? For these thy words, be it as thou hast requested. For thy words. So we take our place, I don't have a trouble with believing in the Bible that when God was dealing with Israel, that I was a dog. I don't have any trouble with that. Amen. But see, God has set us up now and made us set in heavenly places. See? And really, you know, and I say this all the time, and I hadn't been too much on the subject this morning of the lesson, but really, when God started out dealing with man, Gentiles were afterthoughts. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 11 about God grafting the Gentiles in? What did he say? He said, boy, God couldn't do without us Gentiles. He just couldn't do his work without. Is that what he said? He said he grafted us in to bring Israel to jealousy. You see what I mean? Now, hang on. I'm not done. In our dispensation, I'm glad I'm a Gentile. Because when I read that Bible over in Revelation and get talking about the bride and all like that, I think, and you don't have to agree with this, but I think the bride of Christ has a special place in the hereafter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It just lights my heart up to see that God selected them Gentile brides for all them, for a lot of them Old Testament faithful men. I mean, Isaac. The servant asked the servant asked Abraham, said, "You want me to take your son back over where you was raised?" He said, "See that you don't do that." Well, go over there and seek her a bride among my people.
Right.
Well, was them people over where he come from, were they Jews? No. Nope. I'm sorry, they weren't.
Yeah.
You think Joseph was successful? Boy, he served 13 years in prison. You think about that. A young man, 17 years old, served 13 years as a slave. And one day God said, told Pharaoh, said, make him governor. Now, Pharaoh didn't know God said that, but he said it. And he made him governor. And I just noticed it one day. Pharaoh said, when you ride down through the streets, said, command them to bow the knee to you. That's in there. Well, what did Joseph wind up with as a bride? You see what I mean? And I'm not even, and I could mention some more, like Boaz. Yep, you see what I mean? And the fellow that married Rahab. Boy, I mean, we'd really cast her out, wouldn't we? Do you know she was the great-grandmother of David? Hello? All right, thank you for listening to me this morning. I kind of got sidetracked a little bit. Well, thank you.